This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Regicide by Dakota Kraut, narrated by Vikas Adam. Prologue.
Your Majesties!
General Armand bowed before the throne, his apprentice doing the same.
The attacks against our defenses have increased in regularity and efficacy. Our guards have been taking serious wounds, but between our healers and a few clerics that have been deemed trustworthy by various officers, the majority of them are able to return to duty if their wounds are not immediately fatal. Another threat, most dire, has come to our attention as well. If the number of racial traitors we have been finding are any indication, it seems the Wolfmen have been working to turn people against us.
The monarchs remained unmoving upon their thrones, their impossibly still forms giving credence to the rumors that they were simply statues of the true monarchs. No one still counted among mortals had seen beneath their metal exteriors, but the fact that they did move around from time to time proved that at the very least they were more than simple effigies. The king's voice rang out in a rich, deep tone.
What would you have us do, General? With the death of the previous Archmage and the rise of a new one, the fighting force we can muster has expanded to a great degree. Now that our platoons will have reliable magical support, we could either mount an offense or rebuild our defenses. Which way would you have us lean on this issue?
With the strange assault of dark creatures that decimated the common wolfmen for over a week, I believe that the raids and banditry are desperate bids for survival. It would only take a single spark to plunge their nation into full war.
General Armand hesitated for only a moment.
I wish for a small part of both of the options you mentioned. The lands held by humankind have been drastically diminished, and we have been forcibly contained within the walls of this city. Now we have an advantage that we would be foolish to ignore. I propose that we try to reclaim our outlying population centers.
The queen's form shifted on her seat, startling those watching.
That course of action is not going to be possible at this time. Though we have mages joining us and greater access to enchanted weapons, the new troops still lack experience. We cannot commit to anything less than a full-blown assault against the Wolfman tribes. Even then, not until we have become a cohesive whole.
I agree, but I think I may have found a solution to this issue. If we were to offer the travelers a base of operations, an area where they can train in privacy and build their power, we would be able to get the best of both worlds. We would gain not only forward operating base that serves as a training ground as well as a first line of defense, but the guilds would also bring a town under the banner of Ardania.
The general's words were passionate and well thought out. All of his strategists had agreed that this was the best, most efficient, and most cost-effective methodology that they could implement.
You want to give the guilds control of a town? The possibility of an abuse of power makes me hesitant to accept this course of action. Unless, perhaps you have a guild that you would recommend right away? A trial run.
The queen's head tilted a bit as she gazed at her most trusted advisor. The general looked at his apprentice with a grin, and Tiona, guild officer of the Wanderer's Guild, smiled right back at him.
I may already have a group in mind, Your Majesty.
Chapter 1. Joe flinched as a knock boomed against the door to his warehouse. It had been just under a week since his altercation with the Mage's College, and so far, no one had anything negative to say about it. Deep down, though, He knew that when someone is raised as a fanatic and another person shatters their worldview, well, history doesn't show that person living a long and happy life. In short, Joe was sure that someone was eventually going to come after him. Until he had a person to face off against, he was constantly expecting an assassin to appear. Hence, he was a little jumpy.
"Come in,"
Joe called out, putting his ink-stained hands under the table. If someone were entering with less than honorable intentions, he wouldn't hesitate to send 30 points of damage their way in the form of a shadow spike to the leg.
Can you come out instead? There's something in the air here.
The voice that drifted into the room sounded a bit sickly. Ah, yes, his quarantine ritual would make anyone that got too close to the building super nauseated.
I have a delivery from the college, as well as a personal message from...
There was a bit of rustling as the man looked at his delivery notes.
Journeyman, fire mage, cell?
I'll be right there,
Joe called, already working on unlocking the door. He typically wasn't an overly paranoid person. It just so happened that he was diving deep into study and experimentation currently. If he were interrupted while trying a new ritual, an assassin wouldn't even need to fight him. The mana feedback could pop him like a balloon as it rebounded into him.
I'm Joe. What do you have for me?
Two packages and a letter that I'm supposed to read aloud.
The mailman cleared his throat.
This is a quote. It isn't my own words. Understand? Good. Cell says, if you want to learn these spells properly, stop faffing around in your creepy room that makes people sick, take a shower, and learn from a mage at the college. Book learning can only take you so far. Now, with that done, let me say I agree with the shower comment.
Joe glared at the mailman and subtly sniffed under his arms. It was possible that a shower would not be a terrible idea. Maybe that was why dinner had cost almost half as much more than usual last night.
I didn't ask for your opinion. Just give me the books.
Here you go. Delivered safe, sound, and on time.
The mailman looked at Joe expectantly, but Joe just glared, maintained eye contact, and slowly shut the door. A message appeared in Joe's vision that made him snort. Relationship change. -10 with courier number 73. You are slightly less likely to gain help or quests from this person.
Bah.
With his stinky debuff at, he checked the active effects tab on his character sheet. The fourth rank, even tipping the man a full silver, would have only maintained a neutral alignment to their relationship. Joe had been hiding out and delving deeper into the secrets of his class ever since the fiasco with the mages, and it was possible that he was a little too intent on his work. With no party to pull him along on quests, and an abundance of new material, data, and spell components that everyone had needed a license to purchase before the death of the Archmage, well, it was easy to miss a meal or two. Maybe he was a little less likely to shower or change his underwear. Joe quickly cut off that line of thinking before scratching at his crusty clothing. It might be time to go do other things for a while. On the other hand, he looked at the two thin books that he was holding. There were a few ways to learn a spell. The first, and easiest, was to have someone teach it to you. Normally, this is the route that Joe would have taken, but he had noticed that some people could use the same spell and get different results. This was because the person teaching the spell would teach it in the way that they knew it. The teacher would incorporate superstition, unnecessary gestures, and other such fluff. Using a fireball as an example, while some of these components might add a bit of power, maybe heat, or perhaps change the color, it would also lengthen the casting time and increase mana consumption. The second option was to learn or be granted the spell via a level up or natural ability. Joe had gained most of his magical abilities this way. It was difficult to level up, and it seemed that there was no guarantee that a better way to work the same magic didn't already exist. Also, Gaining spells and abilities in this manner might lead you in different directions than you intended to go. A fireball spell wouldn't be super practical to him, for example, because he had high affinity with dark and water magics. The third option, the least practical for most people, was to find a spell book, specifically a grimoire. This was a detailed accounting of a spell, typically written as accurately as possible by a mage. It had all the issues of the first option, the superstitions, assumptions, and sometimes tricks thrown in to confuse someone that may have stolen the tome. There was also no person guiding you, so your spell form would not be carefully inspected and critiqued. This made an already difficult study nearly impossible, making books the worst options for anyone but enchanters and those who relied on precise lines or drawings. Joe had an advantage over a normal student of the arcane, and he hoped that his hunch would pay off. He cracked open the first book and read over the first page, smiling as alternating sections glowed either brilliant gold or a murky black light. Joe sighed in pleasure. He loved the occultist profession. Being able to see the truth of written information allowed him to bypass the trial and error associated with determining the fiction and reality of magic. Joe pulled a roll of paper out of the box next to his table, increased the light in the room, and decided that he could put off the shower a little longer. Pulling out a quill and ink, he started copying the truthful information from the book onto the scroll. Hours passed in what felt like an instant, and Joe looked down at the completed scroll. After adding the final details, he attempted to cast the spell it contained. His hands formed the shapes needed, and he pushed his mana into the budding spell form.
Weak acid spray!
With these words, a cone of acid sprayed from his outstretched hands and settled to the floor when it didn't encounter anything else. The ground became a bit pitted after a few seconds, and Joe wrote down a note of how much damage it had done.
Congratulations. You have learned a new spell. Weak Acid Spray, Novice One. This is a spell taught to the newest mages, usually used to dissolve garbage, reducing the space taken up by trash heaps. Effect: deals 5 endpoints of acid damage to anything caught in the area of effect, where N is skill level. Deals triple durability damage to equipment and weapons. Quest updated. Playing your fake role, too. As a mage, your job is to output as much damage as possible in as short a time as you can. If you want to be a believable mage, your ambition needs to be even higher than an actual spellslinger. Learn 3 mage spells, 2 out of 3. Get 1 mage-type skill to the beginner ranks, 0 out of 1. Kill 5 enemies within 10 seconds by using spells, 0 out of 1. Wonderful. It seemed that writing out the formulas would work. It was possible that Joe could learn spells that no one else could manage, spells that had been lost to time because there wasn't anyone who could work through powerful grimoires. He could... Whoosh! The scroll he had created went up in flames, turning to ash in an instant. He released a high-pitched squeal, flailing as he stepped backward and tripped over his chair. Simply lying there for a moment, he looked over the notifications he had been ignoring. Skill gained. Scribe. Beginner 6. After writing down sentences and formulae instead of single words and doodles, you have proven that your mastery over the written word is at least at the 8th grade level. +1% writing speed and writing accuracy per skill level. You have created a spell scroll. A scroll allows anyone with the requisite skill who reads it to learn the spell it contains. Caution. You do not have the skill, Words of Power, written. Caution. You have not used a type of paper that can contain the magical truths written on it. Oh, no. The ink and quill you have used do not have any mana containing or stabilizing properties. The scroll is unstable. Chances of spontaneous conflagration mitigated by materials and skill levels, 99.89%. Well, that had been informative. At least he knew why 4 hours of work had just gone up in smoke. Joe went to put away his items, but as he was packing up, he found that his quill had fallen apart and his ink had boiled away. Dang! No more writing until he replaced those. Another notification appeared, and he stopped, surprised that it had taken so long. Normally, notifications came in groups.
After reviewing, you have been awarded the skill, Words of Power, Written. You were able to create a scroll, even if it didn't last long. Know that working with me means that you have someone advocating for you. Tatum. P.S. You should find some information on skill rarity.
Skill gained. Words of Power. Written. Novice 1. Being able to keep bias and personal preference out of spell forms is nearly impossible, but you have managed to distill a spell to its most basic design. By writing out the spell form on a scroll, anyone who reads the scroll will have a chance to learn the spell. Base probability of learning the spell from magical document, 20%. Each rank in this skill increases the chance of learning the spell by 2%, but personal ability will further modify the percentage. Each document will have a minimum characteristic score needed in order to learn the spell. When made properly, scrolls at novice rank have 90 plus 1% increased chance to stabilize, minus 15% increased difficulty rank. The spell must be in the basic spell form for the scroll to be valid. A 1 in 5 chance to instantly learn a spell from a scroll? Joe looked at the pile of ashes on his desk and sighed. It had taken a few hours to complete a single scroll, but it might be worth it to progress this skill. Learning spells was usually the work of multiple days, sometimes weeks or years for higher-ranked spells. Even if it only worked every once in a while right now, by the time he had brought it to a high level, he could sell massively powerful scrolls for a fortune. Now, he should... His stomach rumbled, reminding him that he hadn't left his admittedly odious room all day. Did he leave yesterday? No. He was working on perfecting the area of effect for rituals. Really. He still needed to... Rumble! His belly was no longer playing around. Joe sighed and ran his hand over his extra shiny head. It came away disgustingly greasy, and he winced at his own filth. Sorry, stomach. A shower and clean clothes needed to come first.
Chapter 2. Why in the world did it cost more to take a bath when filthy? You'd think that with a lowered charisma from being stinky, they would want you to be clean. Joe's indignation vanished as he saw two people carrying the tub he had just used. They dumped the water, pouring mud, sweat, various bodily fluids, and blood that had all combined into a viscous slurry down the drain.
Oh. That might be why. That had all been on him?
The serious debuff was making more sense right now. Joe walked out of the bathhouse in his clean clothes, pleased by how much nicer everyone seemed. People smiled and nodded as he walked by, and he returned the acknowledgments with a smile of his own. In the last week, news of the fallen Archmage had circulated the city such that when the Mage's College had joined in the fight against the Wolfmen, Joe's reputation with Ardania had slowly increased. It finally settled 1,000 points higher than it had been, and he was seeing the benefits of having a reputation of reluctantly friendly. People were nice, but didn't go out of their way to do nice things for him. Pretty much just common decency.
Perfect.
He stopped by a kiosk where they were selling skewers of meat and veggies, buying two and tearing into them. Basic needs addressed, Joe walked over to the guild hall. Well, the rented army barracks that his guild lived in right now. He had not stopped by in a couple of days, so he was surprised to walk in on a bustling work crew stripping everything out of the building. Noticing the guild leader amongst them, Joe swung over to see what was going on.
Aten, is the guild hall moving?
Yeah, yeah,
Aten replied distractedly, not actually looking over at Joe.
Careful with that! If that breaks, this whole place goes up in flames. Didn't I tell you not to touch our alchemy equipment yet?
The unfortunate guild member being yelled at looked down at a bubbling flask that seemed to be getting more unstable. He made a face as the liquid started to churn and almost dropped the fragile container. Joe had walked over during this exchange and was close enough to take the flask away. He dropped it into his spatial ring, knowing that the distorted time in the ring would allow them to either safely dispose of it or get it back to the alchemist who was working on it. Aten wiped his forehead, removing an increasing nervous sweat.
Ah, Joe! Always a pleasure. Have you finally decided that you want to be a guild leader? I would be happy to go on a training spree.
I could really go for not being responsible for a $500,000 investment like this place, Joe chuckled wryly. I think I'll leave it in your more than capable hands.
That's all you think is invested in the guild? Oh, my naive friend.
Aten shook his head and grinned as he spoke.
To what do I owe the pleasure? I figured you were out trying to teach the wolf men to be friendly or some such.
Nah, just got caught up in research.
Learn anything useful? What sort of gains have you seen?
Joe thought back on his week.
Well, I learned a lot of stuff that will be useful eventually, but nothing extra special for the time being. In a week, I've gained zero experience, but through my research and trial and error, a total of 4 intelligence, 4 wisdom, and 2 dexterity.
Did you know that you gain wisdom faster when you make an unintended effect that is really destructive, then promise to yourself that you won't ever do that again?
That's, yeah, I can see that.
Aten rolled his eyes.
Anything getting close to the level 50 threshold yet? Also, is that really the best method for improving your stats?
Not really getting close to 50. My intelligence is at 37, so I am getting closer, but I'm not quite there yet,
Joe admitted distractedly while looking over his status. Name, Joe, the Chosen of Tatum. Class, Arch-Cleric. Actual, Ritualist. Profession, Scholar. Actual, Occultist. Level 9, Experience, 37,978. Experience to next level, 7,022. Hit points, 70 out of 70, 50 plus 20. Asterisk. Mana, 814 out of 814. 12.5 per point of intelligence, plus 100% from deity, minus 11% from mana manipulation. Mana regen, 9.81 per second, 0.25 per point of wisdom, plus 9% from coalescence. Stamina, 60 out of 60. 50 plus 0, asterisk, asterisk, plus 10, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Asterisk, 10 points for each point in constitution once it has increased above 10. Asterisk, asterisk, 5 points for each point in strength once it has increased above 10. Asterisk, 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 5 points for each point in constitution once it has increased above 10. Characteristic, raw score, modifier. Strength, 10, modifier, 1.1. Dexterity, 12, modifier, 1.12. Constitution, 12, modifier, 1.12. Intelligence, 37, modifier, 1.37. Wisdom, 36, modifier, 1.36. Charisma, 15, modifier, 1.15. Perception, 25, modifier, 1.25. Luck, 15, modifier, 1.15. Karmic luck, plus 5.
Wait a moment. Aren't you level 9?
Aten asked with surprise, lacing his voice.
I'm level 9, and I only need to kill a rabbit or something to get to 10, but my strength, constitution, and dexterity are above 50 already.
Are you being serious right now?
Joe's eyes were round and panicked.
That means you have at least
450 health and over 800 stamina?
A bit more than that of each of those, plus my bonuses from armor and weapons,
A-10 confirmed proudly.
You are way behind the curve, buddy. These are stats that almost everyone at this level has, while you are still closer to the stats from a level... 4? Maybe 5? You need to take the time to grind your skills and do training for your stats. Have you asked for stat training from any of the professionals? You can do dexterity training over at the Rogue area. They have a really good obstacle course. Talk to the guard if you want strength or constitution training and, I don't know, the library or mage's college for mental stats. The others that I know about are for certain classes only, like the rangers. They'll only teach one of their own how to improve perception.
I didn't even know that was an option. I've just been trying to throw myself into my work, hoping that it would help me get stats. Joe looked at the ground and grimaced.
I'm betting they have pretty good techniques to help you gain stats, don't they?
Yep. Any stat below 50 can increase daily if you follow their training plan. The game usually only lets you do the work for an hour or two, depending on what your stats look like. It's seriously grueling stuff, but it can even help rank up your skills a lot faster, too. My strength training was all about swinging around a copy of a Warhammer that weighed about 3 times as much as my standard one. The guys there helped me with my constitution at the same time, either tossing ice-cold water on me, coals, or doing a bit of light bruising so that I would get used to fighting either mages or fighters. Simple stuff, really.
Joe felt a little sick. Doing that sort of training with his extra high perception would be really nasty. He wasn't adverse to a bit of pain, but even a little pain was 25% more painful to him than a standard human. Maybe that would make the training more effective?
I might go ahead and stick with the mental versions.
Hey, thought you might.
A-10 snorted at him.
Anyway, back to your question. The guild is moving. I'm not exactly sure where yet. That's for our scouts to determine. Oh, right. You haven't stopped by in a few days. We got another noble guild quest from the palace. If you check your guild tab, you should be able to see the details.
Joe was intrigued, so he navigated through his character sheet and opened the quest A-10 was talking about. Guild quest. Base Ick Operations. The king has decided that it is time to expand the kingdom's sphere of influence to its former glory. Do your part by freeing a village or town from whoever is controlling it and bring back the village under the banner of Ardania. After the area is secure, you can set up your headquarters by building, buying, or capturing a structure to use as your main guild house. Rewards. A permanent base of operations for your guild. Increased reputation with Ardania. Failure. Increased rent. Loss of reputation with Ardania.
Oh, neat. So we are going to go take over a town?
Joe rubbed his bald head thoughtfully.
And we have not only permission, but orders to do so?
We are, and we do!
A-10 grinned excitedly.
I'll let you know when we are going to be going. We plan to bring the entire guild. It'll make travel interesting.
Great. I'm going to have to go find a stat trainer. My methods have hit a wall.
Joe sighed and began his journey to the Mage's College.
See you later.
Chapter 3. Joe strolled into the territory controlled by the Mages, the sunlight reflecting from his bald head, attracting the attention of everyone in the area. Excited conversations followed him as he walked, so he was very glad to get indoors and away from eyes that were filled with either hero worship or bitter anger. Their reaction to his presence mainly depended on how deeply indoctrinated they had been in the manifesto of the ex-Archmage. Some people would never be happy with freedom when they had been trained to enjoy their position in life, especially when that position used to be one of power over others. An unknown mage was sitting and studying in the reception hall, so Joe went over, introduced himself politely, and asked for directions to an area where he could increase his stats. He was directed to a small room and, unexpectedly, found that Cell was waiting for him.
Hello there, Joe.
Sal, good to see you, buddy. How have you been?
Joe replied brightly. Buddy? I wouldn't go quite that far. While I owe you for freeing me from what would have essentially been slavery, you also used me against my will to power dark rituals as well as experimented on me with healing magic.
Sel's face had darkened during his rant.
Let's focus on the freeing you from slavery aspect.
Joe beamed a brilliant smile at Sel, trying his best to ignore the rest.
What brings you here today?
Sel squinted his eyes at Joe and reluctantly decided to move on.
Skill increased. Speech, novice 2. Charisma, +1. Convincing a person to like you when they are unsure if they should is a great way to climb the social ladder. You sweet talker. Maybe you should be using this skill on fewer men, unless...
Joe ignored the rest of the notification. The notices had been a bit abusive since he had messed up and gotten them set to extra snarky by the AI controlling the game.
Sel took a breath and answered Joe's question.
Since I do feel that I owe you a tiny bit for your part in freeing us, I ask to be notified if you came in for any kind of training. I assumed you were going to come in for some spell training, but I agree that it is probably for the best that you increase your intelligence and wisdom.
The last few words were heavily inflected, leading Joe to believe that Sel may be trying to hint that he should stop doing stupid things.
I agree completely.
Joe kept his smile fixed in place, pretending not to understand that Sel was being intentionally rude to him.
I was wondering if perhaps there was anything you have that will also increase perception or dexterity as well. I need to grow as much as possible.
Sel tapped the table where they had taken seats with one finger while he thought.
We do. But do you understand how stat training works?
Not particularly.
That's fine.
Sel stood up and went over to a chalkboard. He wrote a simple division problem on the board.
You do understand basic math, I presume?
Indeed. Continue.
Joe affirmed grandly.
Well, you can only devote either 1 or 2 hours a day to a specific stat based on which threshold you have passed to raise it by 1 point. Otherwise, the system awards you points based on your actions in a seemingly random manner. Studying might give you a point to intelligence, maybe 1 to perception, or it might not give you anything at all. There is a theory that there are hidden percentage bars that fill with something like experience, and you get awarded points over time.
Hidden percentage bars, you say?
Joe's fake smile turned into a real one. He would be having a conversation with Tatum, his deity, the hidden god, about this as soon as he could.
Yes, please stop interrupting.
Sel wrote out, 1 divided by 1, on the board.
If you spend an hour devoting your time to raising a single stat, it should take 1 hour to raise it. This only works once per 24 hours. If you try to do multiple stats at once,
he wrote out 2 divided by 1 on the chalkboard.
It will increase the amount of time you need to devote by a full hour. 2 uninterrupted hours. So you can see that it is almost always more efficient to focus entirely on a single stat. If you tried to do all 4 of the stats you were asking about, it would take you 4 hours to see any results, though all 4 would increase at the same time.
Sel finished his explanation and looked over.
All the time requirements double after the 50-point threshold, and the complexity of the training needs to increase significantly as well.
I see. Joe thoughtfully went over this lecture for a long moment.
But you do have a training aid for multiple stats.
We do. Are you sure that you want to use one? You need to devote the required time to them completely until you finish. No breaks allowed, or you have to start over.
Sel seemed to think poorly of Joe's follow-through for some unknown reason.
Yes, please, Joe solemnly intoned.
All right.
Sel sighed and rolled his eyes.
Do I even need to ask? Something that will increase perception, dexterity, intelligence, and wisdom all at once?
This is why we are best friends.
Joe put his arms out for a hug.
Get away from me.
Cell sidestepped the attempted ambush as Joe stood and came toward him.
Your funeral. 1 4-hour-long training session coming up.
He walked over to a cabinet in the room, pulling out something that looked like a Rubik's Cube. Cell looked at the block, rolled his eyes, and handed the cube to Joe.
This is the item you are looking for. Please note that it is covered in dust because no one enjoys 4 straight hours of intensive studying.
Neat. Joe turned the cube over and over, trying to understand all the details it contained. How do I use it?
Have you used a basic puzzle cube? 9 squares on each side?
Cell waited until Joe nodded to continue.
Similar concept, but with 49 squares on each side. Also, not only do you need to get all of the same colors on each side, but there are equations on each square as well. You need to determine the correct answers and line those up. Then you use the answers to the equations on that face as the input to solve the next side.
Good Lord! Joe looked at the item in disgust. You need a college degree to even start!
Cell finally cracked a smile. Pretty accurate statement. That's why it's so dusty. People used to use it all the time because there is a rumor that completing the cube gave a special reward. We never found out if it was true.
Joe looked down at the cube again, less apprehensively this time.
That'd be nice. Which side do I start with?
That's part of the training. Figure it out.
Cell started to walk away.
You can take the cube with you. I'll buy it for you as thanks for helping me remain a free mage.
Thanks.
Oh, believe me, in this case, the pleasure is all mine. Good luck.
Cell went off to do other things as Joe started walking back to his warehouse. His rented property was a good halfway point between the college and the city's library, which is where he would go next if this training didn't pan out. He opened the door, went to his desk, and got comfortable, putting on the spectacles of the scholar to mitigate eye strain from reading the tiny writing. He got to work. Joe started reading each face of the squares, feeling entirely disheartened and full of dread as he found that the questions were far too advanced for him. He thought about working to get all the colors grouped, but knew it would be a waste unless he put them in order. He had to flip the square quite frequently during his search, but finally he found a blue square that he was fairly certain he could answer. What is the sum of all natural numbers below 20 that are divisible by 3 or 5? Joe pulled out some chalk and wrote directly on his desk. 3 plus 5 plus should be 98? Joe looked over all of the numbers on the cube that were the same color. There was no 98 on any of them. Joe frowned. Did I do my math wrong? No, Oh, the question said below 20. I included 20. Let's see, minus 20, is there a 78? Yep, there it is. As soon as he said it out loud, the 2 squares lit up a tiny bit, showing that they were completed and were supposed to be set together. Joe went on to the next problem and kept going until he got a sudden notification.
Characteristic point training completed. +1 to intelligence, wisdom, perception, and dexterity. These stats cannot be increased further by any means other than system rewards, study, or practice for 24 hours game time.
Joe looked at the clarification, a bit startled. Had it already been 4 hours? He looked at the clock included on his character sheet.
No, it had been 1 hour.
How? His class. Yes. He looked at a small portion of the description for his class again, overjoyed that it even applied to this area.
The ritualist gains skill in their chosen pursuits at 4 times the speed of an average class due to their vast thirst for power. His other pursuits had been in attaining skill levels. Was this an active effect?
Did he need to be intentionally trying to increase in these areas in order to increase them?
Ugh. There were so many unknown aspects to this system. Joe bonked his head on the table a few times and looked at the puzzle cube again.
It was surprisingly fun to try to do the work on the cube, but he was still leery about the more advanced problems.
Nothing he could do now, so enough for today.
On to other, more important things. It was time for Joe to form an adventuring party. Chapter 4.
Anyone? Joe called into the awkwardly quiet room. A few people looked his way, but they quickly turned their heads when he tried to meet their eyes with his admittedly rapidly approaching manic stare.
Come on! There's got to be some people in here that don't have a party yet!
Tara walked over, trying and failing miserably to hide a grin.
There is a reason parties are put together right when people join the guild. You've gained a bit of a reputation as an insane person.
What? Joe gasped in total shock at her words. But why? All I've done is awesome stuff. The people with me keep getting huge rewards, and we keep...
Yeah, but think of all the trouble you've caused just by being here.
Tara counted off on her fingers.
You were kidnapped by the Mages College and tortured. Yeah, you toppled the evil Archmages, kudos. A royal guardsman showed up and glared at you, giving you a mysterious gift before leaving. You've died twice in a safe zone, not through PvP, but because you somehow made NPCs so mad at you that they snapped. Should I go on?
I don't understand why that's all a negative, Joe responded calmly, though his knuckles were turning white from his clenched fists.
It's all worked out in the end, right?
I'm sure you can see why normal people don't want to jump up with you, though. They just want to have fun and do normal quests or find awesome quests to do where all the credit doesn't go to the bald anti-mage, the Chosen of Tatum, whoever that is.
Tara arched a hot pink eyebrow at him.
You can see all of my titles? Joe looked at his settings with concern. I have my privacy settings set up to hide all my information. At best, you should only be able to see one title at a time, whichever is equipped.
Firstly, you have Chosen of Tatum set as your main title. Secondly, I have an ability called Scan already into the student ranks. Scan is similar to Identify, but works on people.
Tara told him how to get the skills when he looked interested.
You need a high enough perception. Then you need to try to look at a person's info. When you are able to see the basics of anyone's information on a consistent basis, it should develop into an ability.
Joe shook his head.
Back on topic. Throughout all of the craziness you are describing, there was only one time where I was alone. The other people in my party should be just as famous, minus the Mages College.
Tara put up her hands in a classic surrender pose and started to back away.
I'm just telling you what everyone else is thinking. Good luck, crazy man.
Ugh.
Joe rolled his eyes as he saw that her words were taken as gospel by the others in the room.
Kids these days. You do a few things in a way no one else thought to do, and they get all bitter about you solving problems.
He walked into the office portion of the building, sidestepping overeager people who were packing away books and documents. He stopped someone he vaguely recognized and asked where Aten was hiding. A set of instructions and a few turns later, he found the guild leader getting geared up.
Holy moo! What class are you?
Aten was covered in shining silver plate metal. He pulled a winged helmet down over his head before looking over.
Oh, hey there, Joe. Class? I'm a guild leader. Thought you knew that.
Wait. I thought that was just a... position.
Joe looked on in shock as A-10 inspected a silver warhammer that reflected, no, it was releasing its own light.
His warhammer was glowing.
Is that hammer enchanted? I haven't seen any enchanted weapons in the game yet.
Yes, it's enchanted. Yes, guild leader is a class as well as a position.
A-10 took a deep breath and bounced on his toes, getting used to the huge weight he was now carrying.
Did you need something? I'm off to kill a rabbit and then go for specialization.
Right. I was wondering if I could put together an official party or be assigned to one.
I need to recruit a few people if we go the put-it-together route.
Joe cast one more envious look at the beautiful armor, and then tried to let the envy go. He reminded himself that he wouldn't be able to take a single step wearing that shiny, shiny gear.
Sure. Talk to the admin workers about doing an interview with some guild hopefuls. We've got a bunch of new requests to join, but not nearly enough space for them. I'd offer some suggestions, but I think you are right in thinking that you'd have trouble getting people that are already in our guild.
A-10 brushed by Joe and waved over his shoulder.
Good luck!
Thanks. Joe's voice faltered as A-10 vanished through the doorway. I'm going to take that as permission to bring anyone I want into the guild. He did say admin. Where the heck is admin? Joe had to resort to asking for help a few times, but finally found someone who had files full of people who were hoping to join the guild. All the files were separated out into piles that approximated what position someone would have in a party. Fighter, tank, ranged damage, buffer or healer, and finally, rogue. Joe didn't bother with production classes, people who focused entirely on either collecting or producing goods. Though they had important roles, he was recruiting for his personal team and not the guild.
Is there a way that we can narrow the selection? Maybe get rid of anyone who plays a standard class? I want people who can wear many hats, fill many roles.
Joe tried to direct the man, helping him sort through the files.
We can, I think. Do you mean you want multiclassers or cross-classers?
The friendly but extraordinarily bland man questioned.
What's the difference?
Multiclassers literally switch between classes. You might have a guy who plays as a warrior in a party, but switches to rogue when alone.
Even his voice was bland. Joe ground his teeth as the man continued droning.
Cross-classers are different. They might be trying to combine class abilities or unique features into unique classes when they specialize, so they use abilities from multiple classes even though there is a really hefty stamina or mana penalty to do so, something like 7 times more expensive. They can also only learn a few skills outside of their area of expertise.
That one, cross-classers. I want focused yet driven teammates, Joe quickly responded.
The man nodded sleepily and helped sort out the exotic classes. The piles were now much smaller and the people much more interesting. On the forums, there was a list of the reasons the person in question had not been accepted right away.
Really? This guy has everything I'm looking for in a fighter, and he wasn't added to the guild because, and I quote, dude's creepy as schniz? Who wrote this?
Joe only got a shrug in return.
Fine.
Joe took his time going through the pile and picked out a few other likely candidates.
I'm glad these at least have a rough location for finding them.
Reading over the paper, Joe meandered through the streets until he saw the inn he was looking for. There was a bit of a commotion going on, but he didn't think much of it until he saw that most of the crowd were members of the guard. Joe hurried over, just in case someone had been hurt. He did have a deal with the guard to heal them if needed. The strangest sight he had ever seen in a public area greeted him.
No, not like that.
A smiling man wearing only cloth armor easily dodged a sword that was swinging at him.
Terrible posture, disgusting form. Tore that shoulder a while ago? You must have hurt yourself overextending like that. Here.
The man's hands wove through the air, striking the guard's joints and sending him clattering to the ground.
That should help. Keep practicing, boyo.
Another sword came at him from the side, and he danced around it as if the wind had buffeted him to the side.
Some yellow teeth you have there. Oh, that looks bad. Let me help.
He threw something at the guard which stuck into his neck, and the targeted guard dropped to the ground with a gurgle. A fist struck the smiling man in the stomach, and he was bent over from the force. He bounced back a few feet, put his hands on his gut, and twisted. A moist crack could be heard, and he went right back to smiling.
Goodness, that was a lot of force, but the way you twisted... You must have hurt your Terry's major. That's a muscle in your shoulder. You know what? Come here.
He breezed forward and slammed a palm into the guard's back.
There you go. Seems like a common injury with you sword flingers.
Everybody stop!
Joe bellowed as loudly as possible when he saw arrows being pulled back. To his shock, they actually did stop.
First of all, is anyone hurt? Next, what in the abyss is going on?
He stopped talking. He had meant to say abyss. No, not that. He was trying to think abyss. Celestial and abyss. What in the...
Hey there, friendly stranger. No one is seriously injured, though there might be minor bruising and tiny lacerations.
The strange, smiling man was the first to speak, earning himself glares from the guards as they stepped in to take advantage of his chattiness. Joe winced as he saw fury and murder in the guard's eyes.
You're probably not who I'm looking for, but you wouldn't happen to be Jackson, would you?
Hey, yeah, that's me,
Jackson responded brightly.
Can I help you with something? Do you need an adjustment?
His fingers started to wiggle as he asked the second question.
Not a normal jazz hands wiggle, but independent movement for each finger, like worms attached to his palms.
Oh boy. Joe turned to the guards.
Hey all, can you please tell me what's going on? I might be able to fix... whatever this is. This is no place for a civilian- Ow!
Another guard cuffed the one speaking on the back of the head.
Quiet you! That's Joe, the cleric that comes and heals all the guards!
There was still a petulant look on the face of the guard who was rubbing his head.
You know, the one who does it for free!
Panic showed in the first man's eyes, but they hardened after a moment.
I know you have a very good reputation with the captain, but...
The guard hesitated as the others glared at him.
I'm just trying to clear this up without someone getting hurt,
Joe promised with a small smile. He gestured at Jackson.
I'm actually here to talk to him, and I'd prefer not to do it while he is in a cell.
The guard still hesitated.
Can I heal anyone who needs it? Perhaps while you tell me why he is in trouble? How this started?
This seemed to tip the guard's mind in Joe's favor, so he nodded and began to talk.
We had a report about a man who was walking around striking people. Never attacking them, per se, but slapping, poking, or grabbing them. When we were told he stabbed someone, we came over to arrest him. Only thing is, we could barely touch this weirdo. Then he started telling us that he was going to fix us and kept attacking us whenever we got close.
Joe turned to Jackson, who was waiting patiently in the circle of guards while bouncing on his toes.
Why were you attacking people?
I wasn't, Jackson proclaimed instantly. They needed or asked for treatment and wouldn't get into the proper position to let me help them, so I needed to take matters into my own hands.
He wiggled his fingers again.
In fact, I can show you what I'm talking about if you'd like.
Looking around at the wary guards, Joe nodded slowly.
Sure. We'll call this your interview to join my party in the Wanderer's Guild.
Oh, that's what you are here for. Excellent, and a wonderful decision.
Jackson moved forward, far too fast in Joe's opinion. His hands launched forward like ballista bolts and landed on Joe's chest and lower back. He pushed and twisted, forcing Joe to move as wet popping sounds filled the air. Jackson shook Joe's arms, cracked his fingers, finally grabbing his chin and twisting Joe's head back and forth. The guards took a panicked step forward, looking sick to their stomachs.
There you go, Jackson finally stated. You've been slouching, possibly reading or working at a desk far too long. That'll help your posture and energy levels today. We should set up a frequent appointment if you want to stay moving at maximum efficiency.
Joe had to admit, he felt great. There was only one small issue. The abrupt movement had cost him 8 points of health. While that didn't sound like much, it was a significant portion of his total health pool. At least now he knew why the guard had been called. Checking his active effects tab to see what had changed, Joe was thoroughly impressed.
Buff added, well adjusted. After allowing another man to handle you roughly, you feel great. Not a total surprise. Now all of that time you spent in the library avoiding people makes sense. Temporary effect. Charisma, intelligence, wisdom, dexterity, and constitution, +2. Time remaining for buff, 35 minutes, 59 seconds.
Holy! Joe exclaimed in happiness and amazement, having learned to ignore the caustic remarks of the system. I feel wonderful! What did you just do, and why in the world did it give me a temporary increase to 5 different stats?
I adjusted you,
Jackson explained to him as if he were a simpleton.
I'm a chiropractor and acupuncturist in the real world, and it turns out that the skills transferred here. I just needed to show my real skill, and it bumped me all the way to expert.
Aren't you level 5?
Joe looked around at the shocked guards, who were all checking their own active effects. Anyone who had been attacked had round eyes and were whispering amongst themselves.
Yubbers!
Jackson's smile remained fixed in place without seeming forced, giving him a serial killer vibe.
In my own humble opinion, I should have at least master rank in those skills. I can't seem to figure out what the system needs from me in order to recognize my ability.
He walked over to the guard, who had crumpled to the ground, pulling out a thin needle.
There you go, fella. That should keep you off smoking for a few days. Try to make it a permanent habit.
Joe covered a smile as the abashed guard was pulled to his feet.
I'd really like you to join my team. Are you a ranger, rogue? Your file says fighter, but...
No, fighter is correct. Specifically, my class is monk. I've always wanted to try adjusting animals and other creatures, but the ethics committee kept stopping me. Something about a degree needed to adjust animals. But here, not only can I adjust people and test out theories of acupuncture without needing my patient to be stationary, lying down, on a table, etc., but there are apparently humanoids. Wolfmen, elves, dwarves. I cannot wait to see how their bones and circulatory systems are differentiated from ours.
Jackson was breathing heavily and smiling at the sky.
So excited. Oh, and yes, I'll join your team.
Joe hadn't officially invited him, but it was true that Jackson fit what he was looking for pretty well. Can't be number one if you aren't odd, right? Joe gave him some information on where to meet up in an hour or so, healed any guards that had lost health, and walked away after making Jackson promise that he wouldn't try to fix anyone until they were in a party. Chapter 5. So I have a frontline fighter. Good. Next is the tank. Really gonna need to make sure to choose the right person here. Some good options, though. Joe shuffled through the files he had on people that designated themselves as damage absorbers. He pulled out his favorite and had to shake his head. Why in the world are you listed as a tank?
All right. Let's see what makes you tick.
It took about 10 minutes to navigate to the Barge Theater, which was a glorified training building for musicians. But when he arrived, he was glad that he had made the trip.
For goodness sake, stop that!
Joe had walked into a performance room where people were being judged on their singing ability. Emphasis was on judge, if the downcast faces in the room were any indication. There was a small panel of gaudily dressed people sitting in the audience, and one of them was shouting at the man performing,
"You have absolutely no skill in singing. I hated it so much that I dislike you as a person now." "I'm not singing, you fat peacock,"
the man on the stage shouted back with a thick Scottish accent.
"I'm going on chanting." "Get out of here, you fail. Shoo!"
the judge shouted while waving his hands at the glowering applicant.
"Ah, get it up, ye. I'm going, and I'm taking back my fees, you dubber."
The judge crossed his arms haughtily.
"Whatever gets you out of here the fastest."
Joe intercepted the man he was almost sure he was here to meet, getting a glare in return for blocking his path.
"Excuse me, are you Bard?"
"Apparently not,"
the man shouted at high volume back into the room. He turned to Joe and stuck out a hand.
I'm Bard. What you need?
I'm forming a party for the Wanderers Guild. I'm looking for a person to fill the role of tank, and your name was at the top of